So let's get one thing, or the first thing, out of the way today. And that is, if you are a pet owner, be a responsible pet owner, and please remember to have your pets spayed or neutered. All right, now that that's out of the way, my guest today is Dr. Marcia Whitaker, or better known as just Dr. Marcia. Dr. Marcia is the founder and CEO of In Full Bloom Health and Life Coaching. She is also the founder and the head honcho of Girl Boss Life Academy. And through the Girl Boss Life Academy, she helps women discover who they are and decide what they want and their message, what they're going to deliver, and how to really deliver on their own destiny. Now, I say women, but this really is for men and women. Remember to like, share, follow, and comment. If you have not done so on any of the podcasts, I ask you to do that because it helps with whatever algorithm is out there. And I like to get the show up to number one. So let's get right into it with Dr. Marcia. Dr. Marcia Whitaker, thanks for joining me today and welcome. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Chuck. I am fantastic, actually. Thank you for having me on the Chuck Tuck Show.
Yes, yes. You know, I can tell you are a life coach because you are already making me feel like life is great.
I love it. Thank you for saying that. That makes my day.
Well, you're welcome. But it's the fact. It's the truth. You're more than a life coach, but I wanted to find out about you, about your, can I call it a foundation, your Girl's Boss Life, because you are a founder.
Yes.
We want to talk really about empowerment, and I want to specifically get into empowerment, talking about women and how they can empower themselves, because right now, there's still that pay gap, you know, between men and women in the professional mm-hmm. field. And I was taking a look, even though there are women that are in high positions in companies such as CVS Health, UPS, Accenture, Citigroup, all that, it makes up a small percentage of the Fortune 500 companies. What is your mission statement? What are we going to do for women?
So the first thing I want to say is that I'm a product of the product. And that is what, when we're in this coaching field, actually any field, if you can't help somebody else unless you have gone through it yourself. And so I am Dr. Marcia. I am a physician by training and by career. And I came over into the life coaching space because I was struggling for many years. And I wouldn't say decades. And when I say that, people say, but you were a doctor. And I'm like, yeah, but no matter where you are in life, there's going to be a struggle. And just because you have gotten to the next staircase, it doesn't mean that you're now, you know, it's over. Like, I mean, meaning you don't have struggle. You don't have trials. You don't have tribulations. And so what I did is, once I came over and I became the life coach, I became who the people who I now coach needed. And what I do is that I help women who are trapped in their personal prison of life. That could be in low confidence. That could be in low self-esteem. That could be in a career that you didn't like. That could be through divorce and separation, abuse, through all the things. And I help them to break out so that they can do three things. The first thing is to discover who they are. The second is to decide what they want. And now they get to deliver on their destiny.
I'm doing this hesitation because I'm going, I want to call you Dr. Whitaker, but is that too formal for you?
So I normally go by Dr. Marcia. And so that kind of, I hadn't actually thought through all of that, but it puts it on a first name basis and makes, and you said it from the jump, is that I have a gift where people feel comfortable around me. And so the Marcia part is now we're just kind of vibing. The doctor kind of just says, you know what? Yeah, I do have the training, but I've never really been, I've never been locked in on the doctor part, but that's where we are.
Well, I'm going to call you Dr. Marcia then.
Okay, that works.
Dr. Marcia, I do have a question for you because of already right off the bat with what you're saying makes me think and wonder, do women, the younger women of today, have a more difficult time than, say, a woman who's already been in a career that's established? We'll say that she's well into her career. She's in her 40s. Is there a difference between that young and that old as far as self-confidence, or is it really a generalization that many women need that boost?
That is the best question I have been asked. So thank you, Chuck, for saying that. And I'm going to say, now I have a young adult daughter, and I have other friends who also have young adult daughters. And I can say categorically that the younger age group, they have been built differently. And I don't know if it's a social media stuff. I don't know if it's just empowerment in that generation, but they do not put up with the stuff that women in my age group have dealt with. You know, one of the things that I speak on is changing the game from the inside out. And part of that is that we have been playing the same games that we were playing on the schoolyard, okay, on the playground. We've been playing Simon Says. We've been playing Duck, Duck, Goose. We've been playing Mother May I. And so women who are, you know, that 40, 50 range, we feel like we have to color within the lines. We have to ask for permission. And we do that not only in grade school, but we do it in our careers. We do it with relationships. We do it with other groups. Like, we wait for permission to come to the table. The younger age group, they're like, why can't we? You know, I want to sit at the table. They're this, but I'm this too. You know, I can do, they're saying I can do whatever I want to. And there have been many times when I'm like, you know what, to my daughter, I'm like, you know what, I just needed, if I had a little bit, if I had this much of what they have in like a pinky full of what determination she has, my life would have been different. And so I applaud them. But yes, the older women, we need to strip it down and start changing the game from what I could call the inside out.
So how about if I throw this little twist in there? Because in that 40, 50 age bracket, more so, maybe approaching 60, you know what happens when women start coloring outside of the lines and doing what they want and what men and sometimes other women tend to call them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Is that still the same that you know of with young women? Does that happen, or has it become, in a sense, a little bit less of a stigma if they do what they want?
So I think that transcends age, mm-hmm. but this is the part that's different. In my age group, and even you said 60, I'm not going to say 60, but I'm going to say that was going closer to that. The difference is that we care what others think.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the younger group, they don't care. And they're going to tell you about yourself, and they're going to call you some names. And then their friends are going to call you names. This is the cancel culture. Okay, they will cancel you, and then now you're on the outs thinking, what had happened? All I said was, is hi, honey. Well, no, you can't call me honey because right. They're gonna go all the way through. So yes, there's some similarities, but then there's still some differences.
Okay. I don't know. I still think that growing up today is got to be really tough. Really yeah. tough. Yeah. But how about your foundation, Girl Boss Life? How did that come about? And is that age bracket specific, or is it going to be for everyone? Girls, women, of all ages?
I think it's global. And the Girl Boss Life lifestyle, which was birthed out of the Girl Boss Life Academy, where I teach my principles, and is founded on deciding to boss up both in life and in leadership. And the way that it came up is that when I first started coaching, I was in that phase of, you know what, I'm a woman and I'm ready to move out from where I was. I was always living underneath of my potential and I knew it, but I didn't have the tools to break out. I didn't have the tools. I didn't have the people around me. I didn't know who to go to help me. And so once I discovered the tools, after I developed the tools, now I'm ready to move. And now I was in motion. And then all of a sudden I was like, you know what? I'm beyond that place. Now I've started making some huge decisions. I call them empowered actions. That's the action that's going to get you to the result. We take lots of action. You know, I call it, you know, we can Netflix all day long. That's taking action, but that's not going to get you the result. And so now after I've been taking these huge, humongous actions and these steps, then I was like, you know what? I'm a boss. Yeah, that was a boss move. And then the other piece is that girl, right? Because some people will say, well, why'd you call it girl boss? Why don't you call it woman boss or lady boss or queen boss? And the way after when I sat with it, I said, you know what? It took me back to the schoolyard, to the schoolhouse, where we all start off as that girl. And how we were dealt with then, whether we were told to shush, whether we were molested or raped, whether we were allowed to sit at the big table, whether we had strong men in our lives who allowed us to be a girl, all of that is still part of us. That's how we still show up in life until we learn to do it differently. Mm-hmm. And part of my academy, my Girl Boss Life Academy, is helping women do it differently.
I want to say that for the guys that are listening and watching right now, this, we're talking about women, girls, but this does not have to mean that this is just women and girls. Everybody has an issue as far as learning to be empowered. When I say learning to be empowered, I think a lot of us don't give ourselves permission. And a lot of us, the negativity that we hear, we compound it even more by telling ourselves, I can't do, or I can't, or I wish I was like, rather than finding the positive, I think, in ourselves.
Absolutely. It transcends both genders. Mm-hmm. And I have had some men who I've coached, and coaching men is a little different. It's doable. And I said, I can do it, but it's easier. Let's say that it's easier for me to coach women because I am one and I know how I can gauge the responses. Men are a little more difficult. You all a little stoic. You all have that outer shell that you have to kind of crack through. And then once you get in, then it's good. But the thing that happens, and I wrote a book about it, it's something called Marked from Birth. And I had this birthmark on my face. I'm not sure if you can see it, but it was very prominent when I was coming up through adolescence. And the birthmark is a nevus, and it's green, and it kind of goes on my forehead and over and through my eye and up here as well. And we all, and I call it a flaw, and we all have that flaw. But what I have cataloged is that flaw is now your superpower. Mm-hmm. And sometimes from the girl piece, that thing that happened is sometimes our flaw. Sometimes it's a physical flaw. Sometimes it is an internal flaw. But those things now, once we realize, male or female, that we have it, now there's a process of finding out that it is the superpower or converting it into the superpower. And now that helps us to elevate, helps us to rise. It helps us to now get to that place. Now we have bossed up both in life and in leadership.
Well, a lot of us, you know, we hear about and we talk about and we think about being an individual, being unique, That is a uniqueness. That is a superpower. If you can tell yourself that and look at yourself that way and say, I am unique. I am one of a kind. I am special. Therefore, I am great.
Yes.
It sounds corny, but you know what? It really is. Wake up in the morning, look in the mirror. That's the first person you see. And look and give yourself that permission. Have a great day. Right?
Yes. Yes. Chuck, you have hit it on the head. You said it sounds corny, but it's not. And if I could poll just the people who I talk to, who they show up, they look powerful, but there's that question mark where they may say something and their voice trails off, or there is that question mark. And you're like, okay, you're saying it, but you don't really believe it. And when you have to get to a place where you 100% believe it, if there's even that smidgen of doubt, you can now, that thing can pull you into a negative spin and cause you to derail. And that thing will affect your entire day, all the decisions you make, and then the results that you get because of the decisions that you made or you didn't make.
You are so right, and especially the one thing that you just now said. And I've said this to other people, and when you start talking and you're feeling all confident, hey, I feel really good, I talk, you trail off. You don't believe in what you're saying. You don't have that confidence. You don't know for sure. So I liken it to, if you want to start someplace, learn not to trail off down like this. Because then people go, oh, they're not really sure. And then you aren't sure of yourself. Talk all the way through at that volume. And hey, I'm a great person. I'm happy. Today is a great day. Don't you think? Yes, I love it. No, I think so. No, that's not it. So.
Exactly. And the thing about it, though, also is that it doesn't start when you say it. It already starts because you're thinking it. Just so happens that you're saying it. And you can say the same thing twice, but it's going to get received differently if you're thinking something different each time you say it. And so that's where the whole mindset piece, you know, I don't know if people get tired of hearing about mindset, but it is the thing. What you are thinking determines your result, because yeah, that's how it's going to come out. That's how it's going to be received. And then the cascade of events that happen after that.
The mind is a powerful thing. You could convince yourself of just about anything. And we all know that. I mean, look at where we're at right now in the state of things. You know, we've convinced ourselves, or somebody's convinced us, and then you believe. So everybody, again, believe in yourself. And if you don't think that anybody, or there's no one that believes in you or that loves you, there is someone. So, you know, it's easier said than done, right?
Easier said than done. So I'm going to challenge it. I understand the concept, yes, right? But that's one of those beliefs, right? Those, I'm going to call it a potential thought error.
You got me.
Because you're going to say it's easier. Yeah, I did. It's easier said than done. But what if it's just easy? What if I just right now decide that I am having a fantastic day? Then that's it.
You're right. We have that choice, and it's easy. It's this or that, and it's your choice. I'm having a great day. Then your day is going to be pretty darn good. You know, today's a Monday, and it's just started off really bad. I don't think it's going to be a very good day. Well, there you go. You just set the pace. It's not going to be a very good day.
Exactly.
So you're right. Exactly. It is easy. Yeah.
It's easy.
This is really fantastic, and I'm really excited about this. Where can people go to get more information, get tutoring from you, your life coach, and things like that?
Absolutely. There's two easy ways. One is that you can just text me, and my number is 410-705-7851. It will come directly to me, and we can set up a call. I can send you some resources. You can also go to my website, and it is www.drmarcia.com.
Excellent. We'll make sure that we have that in the show notes too. Let's jump in a little bit about this pay gap too. I know things are getting, well, it's hard to say if things are getting better because it's kind of been on this stagnant plane for about 20 years as far as what women earn, men and women pay. And I think in the CEO world, women in general earn about 82% of what a man does. Kind of not fair because it's also, I think, if you took a look, women CEOs have been, for the most part, very successful in being CEOs and running multi-million, multi-billion dollar companies. So why are there so few women CEOs, or at least few in, you know, Fortune 1000 companies? And why is it that women are making less? Are you too nice and saying, oh, you know, I want to take a little bit less money and spread that out to everybody else? What is it?
So there are multiple reasons. And I'm going to start by saying one is that it comes down to family dynamics and family planning. Okay, so women is not a shock. We're the ones that birth the kids. Okay, and so during that period of time, women tend to change their career pathway to stay home. You know, they decide to take extended leave. They decide not to pursue that next managerial promotion. And so while they're at home, the men are in the workforce and they are continuing to excel. So now when the woman comes back from maternity leave, or maybe from the 2 year that she decided to stay home or change careers altogether, now when she comes back into the workforce, there's that divide. Okay, so that's one thing. The second thing is there's something called occupational segregation. And that is where most of the women are going into certain sectors of the workforce. For example, teaching. And that doesn't mean that, you know, teaching is bad. I'm just saying teachers, nurses, even retail. If you listen, if you just kind of think about the last time you were at the store, you know, at the mall, you know, or the last time the teacher that you had the most, or, you know, or the nurse that came in to see you. Okay, they're all what? They're women, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you look at some of the other sectors, maybe it's technology, maybe it's engineering, maybe it's business, maybe it's whatever the other things are. You know, even look at the astronauts, okay? What you see are men. Mm-hmm. And those sectors have a higher income revenue generating careers. And so that's another reason why you look at the teacher, look at the physicist. Just by default, there's that divide. And in younger, for high schoolers or middle schoolers, there isn't that push to say, hey, let's open up, let's expand our vision. Let's dream bigger for what you can be. It's kind of like a young man saying, okay, I want to be a firefighter. I want to be a police officer. Great careers. But what about some of the other things that they can be as well?
You know, with you saying that, this is huge because this is something I think that we need to put early on in education. Again, specifically towards young women, girls. You know, there is opportunity in mathematics. There is an opportunity for you to be a scientist. There is an opportunity for you to be anything that a man is doing professionally, you can do as well. It's one of those things where don't watch the movie, don't watch the TV and think you're going to be in hospitality and that's what you're going to be great at and that's the only thing you're going to do. Yeah, sure, you're going to be great, but is that your aspiration? Do you want to be more? You know, don't limit yourself. And I hope educators are out there listening and watching and saying, you know what, we do need to open the doors to more young girls to to pursue mathematics, pursue science, pursue technologies. Now I'm getting all passionate about this because I do agree with you on this. I really do.
I think guys, but I want to make sure that I spoke to this a little bit, but I just want to be sure when we talk about educators, we're not saying that becoming a teacher is limiting yourself, but
no.
But even in the teaching field, say for instance, I'm a physician, okay? I can go and teach at a medical school, okay? I can go and teach, you know, at a residency program. We're not saying the teaching part is a negative or is a sign that you've limited yourself, but we can expand it and do bigger things and help more people and yeah. advance not only the science of it, but also expand the number of boys and girls that want to go further.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because yeah, we're definitely not saying that being a teacher or teaching is a low end or a bad direction, because we do need good educators. Educators are, you know, if there's a pedestal, they should be right there near the top because they're teaching the upcoming. So they are very, very important. And also, we're not saying that if you are saying to yourself, I want to be a teacher, we're not saying change your mind is not a good thing to do. If you know what you want to do, go for it. It doesn't matter if you want to be a cook, you know, if you want to be a restaurateur, if you want to be an astronaut, a firefighter, a nurse, do it. Go for it. Just yeah. empower yourself and be positive about everything.
Yes. And let me say this. What we're saying is if you wanted to be a doctor secretly, but you decided to be a nurse, okay, that's the piece. Don't limit your reach because you don't think you're going to make it, or that you don't think the door is going to be open. You don't think you can rise to that level. Like I remember... the young lady who was the poet who spoke at the inauguration, right? She says one day she wants to be president, right? Nobody is telling her, no, you can't. Sure, right. You can. Go ahead. Be president. Be whoever it is that you want to be. Don't take down because you think that you can't.
Yeah, and don't be afraid of failure, because failing is not failure, really. If you don't do it, you're failing to learn. So try it. There's nothing wrong with failure. And I'm sure that if you ask anyone, including yourself, people who have degrees, people who have, you know, if you want to say lots of money or whatever, they failed, but they kept on going.
They you know? Did. And there was a story that comes to mind when you say that. So when I went to medical school, medical school is filled with lots of smart people, you know, those who were probably one of the smartest people in their colleges. And so my very first exam was physiology, and I failed. Okay, I failed that exam. And so now it's culture shock. Like, what? What's going on? I've been getting A's all along, and I get to medical school, and now I failed my first test. I'm going to fail out of medical school. Oh, my gosh. And it was that weight of, this can't happen. But what I learned through that process is that I was studying hard, but what I needed to do was to study smart. And so there was a pivot that needed to happen. I started sitting in the front of the classroom. I started going to my teacher right after class. I went to office hours. I made sure that I understood all the concepts. And that was a lesson that I had to learn. And it was a good thing that I learned it at the door, the front door, as opposed to at the rear door.
That's a really good way of putting that. Yeah. You know, I remember back in the day when, you know, somebody, I can't remember who, but many would say, I can't remember how it went either. a question that you don't ask is a dumb question. So you got to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. And if somebody stops you from asking, sorry, I'm going to say this. They're the dumb one.
Yeah. Yeah. you have to, if you have a question, you have to ask it, and you have to get to a place. But it's a, it is a, I guess it's a uptick, right? You have to ask the smaller questions so that you get confident in it, and then you kind of go up. And there have been times when I've been the one asking the questions, and then you turn around and you're like, oh yeah, I had that same question. Well, why didn't you ask it? You want me to stand out and be the one asking all the questions. And so that's kind of how I say it, see it now. If I have the question, that means someone else also has the question. They may not have the confidence to ask.
Yeah, it's, I'm going to tell you a funny story of fourth grade with me and this guy, Sam. And his name really is Sam. We had a reading assignment. We're sitting there reading the book together. We're supposed to read it together. Then we're going to do a presentation. We came across this word. I'd never seen it. He hadn't either. And we're trying to figure it out. It's like, manure. What is it? What is it? It's like, you go ask her. I said, I'm not going to go ask. You go ask. Okay. He starts walking up there. And it hit me like, manure. And it was, that was the word we thought was manure, but we were so afraid to go and ask that we, when we do a reading assignment in front of the class, we would have just said manure. And I know somebody would have said, those guys are dumb. They can't read, even though we're fourth graders. But it was one of those situations. I know it's a little bit different, but here we are, two guys. I'm not going to ask because I was embarrassed. You go ask. Mm-mm. And then it's like, no, you go ask. So, but yeah, it's that situation. Even though I figured it out, it, you have to ask. And like you said, be at the front of the class. Don't be afraid. Ask the little questions first to build up your confidence to ask. Because if you don't ask, you'll never know. You never, or you're know. Always going to have the wrong answer or the wrong reason. So do your best to ask and find out. So what advice would you give to young women right now that are growing up as far as building their self-confidence? I know we talked a lot about empowerment and self-confidence, but specifically, is there anything that you would give as an advice or suggestion to young girls?
Yeah. The first thing I would do or suggest is to find a mentor. Okay, and I have done, I have a heart for young women, and I have done a couple of groups where I've coached that age group, and it is the impact that I have by changing how they're thinking, and now opens it up for the rest of their life. And on some points, I'm like, oh, if I wish if I had somebody then, because it is, usually it's not your parent. It's not going to be your mother. You know, it might be your aunt, but even in a coaching relationship, it's better if it's somebody that you admire, but you don't, they don't really know the rest of your life. And so when you coach, there's a, I'm not biased. You just tell me what it is and I'll tell you, yeah, I care about you, but I'm not your auntie, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's a little bit of a disconnect. And there is, that helps. So that's the first thing. The second thing is there's always self-development. You know, learn all you can learn. You know, definitely do some mindset. Maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's journaling. Do those things that you want to do. There is a saying that I love to share. And let's just say, folks, that, you know, we have the obesity epidemic, okay? And part of the reason why we're overweight is that we are overnourished with food and undernourished in every other area, okay? And that goes, you can change that. You can insert any other thing, you know, any other part of life. You know, maybe we're overnourished in seeking getting the bag, as you would say, right? And then undernourished and all the other things. But when you decide, you know what, I need to be a whole person. And maybe I do like the arts. Maybe, you know, I do want to be healthy. Maybe I do think that family is very important and I need to go and reach out and find, you know, spend some time with my extended family. But when we now have all of the pieces Now we are whole. And now that's when you can get off the medication that you're on. Now you lose the weight without actually trying. Now you have improved friendships and relationships. And when all of that is working, now you find who you are, and now you can live a life that is full.
So how about on the flip side, is there a cautionary tale? Is there a caution? Should people be aware of certain things?
Yeah. The caution I would say is second guessing yourself and ignoring your gut. You know, that person that you're like, you know what, something about them isn't right, but I'm going to keep going. Okay. Maybe you end up marrying that person. And then later on you find out that was a red flag, right? Or, you know what, I wanted to do this career, but halfway through it, I felt like, I'm not sure if I really want to do it, but I'm already invested. I'm already halfway there. Let me just go ahead and keep going. And then you realize after you're in the career for 5 years, you're like, you know what, I hate this. Now it's time for me to pivot. The gut is part of your GPS, part of the radar. And when it starts going off, you have to listen.
Yeah.
And if not, you'll get to a place where you're like, I should have listened.
And you know what's so, so important about that is we have one life, and you got to live it the right way or the best way for you. Like I said, if your gut is telling you, maybe you shouldn't really listen to your gut, because like I said, if you go 10 years down the road doing that and you're like, oh man, I hate this. My life is miserable. I wish I wouldn't have. Well, I don't want to say this, but you kind of sort of wasted 10 years of your life, because now you're 60. Whatever it might be. Now you're 30 or 40, whatever it might be. But
right. So I have something for that too. Yeah. So it's great if you can do the detour early. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't, and you're now at a place where you're like, you know what, I've done this too long. I really should have done something differently. Today is still a great day to make a powerful decision for you to take that empowered action that I spoke about. And all that information, all that experience that you gained is not for naught. It's not for nothing. You are now going to be able to leverage that so that now your trajectory has switched and that information is going to come into play. The example I'm going to use, I'm horrible with directions. And I remember the number of times I've gotten so lost that I felt like I was going to just cry because I don't know where I am. Now I have to stop, ask strangers. But every time that happened, every time, somewhere down the road, I found myself in that same location. And now, because I had been there before, it now helped me find my direction. Yeah. And so that's what I'll say about that.
And I'm going to say thank you for correcting me and changing my mindset, meaning that it isn't a waste, because you learn from everything. We've already kind of said that early on. Yes. Is you learn from everything, whether it's a mistake or not, a failure, you learn. So yes, but it goes back to, if your gut says make that change, go ahead, give it a try and just make that change.
Give it a try.
Dr. Marcia Whitaker, this has been wonderful. This has been fantastic. So
yeah, thank you. I love this. I love the energy that you bring, and great questions, great insight. And I look forward to hearing more from you.
Well, you know, I'm following the leader right here. So you open the door, I'll walk through, and I'll pull things off the shelf, and I'll ask you, is this the right thing? Should I like it? What do you think? So You've been, like I said, a wonderful, wonderful, thoughtful, and very informative guest. So I think this is going to be a great one for everybody to watch and listen.
Amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome.